Listener discretion is advised.
Jack, what do we do now?
I need to be debriefed.
From Chicago, Illinois, it's your 24 Weekly Debriefing, a podcast dedicated to the hit show 24. Strap yourselves in and enjoy the ride. I can't believe you're saying another episode, another fantastic episode. Oh my lord. That was good. An excellent job by the director and the editors. Even though it was only 1 hour and we had four last week, so good. I felt, it was like, oh, this was only a quarter of a meal, but I feel full. So for this episode of the Weekly Debriefing, which I welcome you to, my name is Kristen, your host. Hello. I'm going to just give you the summary / commentary, and later on this week we'll give you more news. But for right now, let's just get straight to the good stuff.
The following takes place between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Previously on 24, what happened? Listen to my last three podcasts, you bastards, if you want to find out. Anyways, no, this is the nuclear bomb was kind of like pressing the reset button on the old Nintendo. Doesn't really matter what was happening previously on the show with characters or anything. We're here. Nuke went off, and here we are. So 10 to 11 a.m. Let's see, how many seconds into this episode are we going to have to wait for a little... Okay, we said hundreds of thousands of people were going to die in the nuclear explosion. Not really. And let's see, news guy... Over 1 square mile in Valencia, the bomb went over. The wind may be blowing the mushroom cloud away from the more populated areas. First estimate for casualties is 12,000. See, didn't take very long. It's like the whole, oh, Jack's dead? 2 seconds in, no, Jack's not dead. President Wayne is going down to the bunker. Planes have been grounded and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. President Wayne wants to make a speech within the next hour. Why? Because it's 24. And as he's walking down the hallway into the set of the West Wing, he's got his hand in his pocket for like a second, but I swear to God, he's swaggering like a pimp. He looks badass. He's one badass mother. Shut your mouth. Just talking about Wayne. David wouldn't have had that swagger. So, President Wayne, that was nice. At CTU, we find out that the field teams that were right at the nuke are dead, surprisingly enough. They were too close. Now to see if Fayed had been hit. Fayed, who was fleeing the place where the nuclear explosion went off. Let's see, $5. I think he survived. President Wayne and Tom, etc. and whatever, are now locked into the bunker. Karen calls Bill. Why? Because they love us. And wow, Karen has amazing cell coverage, even in the bunker below ground, and that's just amazing. Now, as they were talking about who's there and who's not, and who's been notified of the situation, they mentioned the vice president, which gives us all the assumption now that we will soon discover his or her identity. Back at CTU, Morris comforts Chloe and mentions that Chloe was friends with Curtis? Who thinks that was possible? No, I don't know. Chloe doesn't have enough junk in her trunk, like me, to be friends with Curtis. L.A. panic time. No, the Lakers did not win. No, there was not some court case which turned out badly. It was in Mushroom Cloud. The mushroom cloud is still in the distance. It's, of course, going away from the populated areas. And people are running around the street. And, oh, we have our first white, British-ish bad guy. See, I told you that it was the British who were evil. Or British ex-cons. He's Australian. His name is Darren McCarthy, and he sold the weapons at least one of them, to Fayette. Fayette is calling him and telling him about the entire situation, and McCarthy is pissed that the bomb went off before he had a chance to leave town. Putting this off in my town? Anyways, he says that he's going to Vegas. Fayette, hearing this, offers him more money, guaranteed more money, to get him more detonators, and this convinces him to stay. So this guy, obviously, to come into play later. Now, in another part of all this chaos, oblivious helicopter guy, whose helicopter has smashed into a house and looks friggin' awesome. It was like pulling out the stops in this episode for like special effects and having a helicopter in a house. Very cool. Anyways, oblivious helicopter guy goes to Jack for help. And Jack runs to help and I see his ass, and it's a very nice ass. Yes. Very nice. Alright. Jack is also an excellent climber going up that building. And I do believe that that shot of him climbing was all Kiefer. All Kiefer. I wonder how many of his own stunts he does. I would love to ask that of him. If you're out there, anyone who knows Kiefer Sutherland, I would like to ask him that question. All right, Kristen sounding desperate again. Using the power of television, or at least a television antenna, Jack gets the guy who was stuck in the chopper out. And coincidentally enough, it falls into an enormous explosion right after the guy is rescued. This explosion, excellent. Better than the C4 explosion. I don't know if by killing Kurtisoff you got more money in the budget for special effects. Whatever you did, do it again. It was great. Now, Jack and CTU are upwind of the blast, of course. And Jack is now back in this game. The ugly hand scar is still there. It's looking a little less scarry and more dirty. So the transformation out of the ugly hand makeup has begun. Back from commercial, the bunker situation room, or whatever it is. Multiple nameless countries are being considered for to retaliate against, or to say where Fayette is from, or something. Actually, to think of it, we don't really know why. Like, we just want to hit somebody else. Why? Because we're mad. Admiral John wants to nuke multiple targets in these anonymous states.
Admiral, I'm very sure that your emotions are shared by many in this room and across this country.
It's not just emotions. Our duty demands we defend.
The president is talking, Admiral. Do not interrupt.
That's right. Oh, no, you did not. Now, the worst case scenario is that Fayette, is still alive and still in possession of the additional nukes or passengers or visitors or whatever. And worst situation, that means that that's what this situation is. Assad is going over to CTU. Shake my hand, Bill. Shake it! And Bill did not shake Assad's hand.
No, but look, I only had a buzzer in there. Would you like some peanuts? They are in this can. Oh, look, there are snakes in there. There are snakes. It's trick, a magic shop on way.
Now, Morris makes faces about Assad, about how, you know, giving him this nice treatment opposed to, you know, killing him on the spot. Now, the last person who had a real problem with this, Jack killed. So, Morris, maybe we shouldn't be so mouthy? I know that's incredibly counterintuitive to your character, but still. And it's not like Assad's getting flown first class and being served champagne. No, he'd have to molest that suburban kid and hike his pants up to his chest like Ed Grimley in order to get that. So Assad and Buchanan do a little expo as an exposition. Fayette broke from Assad about 6 months ago when he found out about Assad's intention for a peace plan. Assad reasserts that he wanted and still wants a peace agreement and did not intend to attack the U.S. In fact, he was not a part of any of the attacks in this 11-week spree. He knew about it about a couple days before the first attack happened, which... Assad gives the name Dmitry Gridenko. He's a Russian general from whom Fayed had talked to about the nukes. Obviously, this is not the Australian guy, but... Now, then commercial. Is it just me, or was that the least exciting and shortest act of 24 ever? Most importantly, there was no Jack. It's probably because he was traveling or still mourning over Curtis's dead body. As we get back, Milo and Chloe are bickering while Morris barges in with something big. Something so big that we go on to Bill's window. What is it? It's BXJ Technologies. The chairman of that is Jack's father, Philip Bauer. I never thought that I would see a name that so does not bring to mind strength in front of the last name Bauer. Philip Bauer. There's Jack Bauer, and then there's Philip. Philip Bauer. Graham? Graham is also there, but that's later on. Anyways, I can't wait to see Jack's reaction when he hears about this information and how apparently Philip Bauer, Jack's father, the chairman of BXJ Technologies, was a contact of this Dmitry Gridenko. So Bill and Jack are talking, and Jack's reaction, there's a blink, and then a determined look. Apparently he hasn't spoken to his father in 9 years. Jack, for whatever reason, besides it just being better drama, decides that he should talk, slash interrogate, to his father himself. Now, the Anacostia Detention Facility, also known as the Playground. Now, Ozguy and Sandra Palmer, they're discussing Waleed, who they've just beaten the shit out of, will now be serving his fracking country by going undercover with this cell, within a detention facility, within a playground. The fact that he just had the crap beat out of him, and that maybe he's not as likely to do it, whatever. And this grab that the FBI agents do of Waleed in front of the terrorist cell within a cell. Oh, that so obviously wasn't staged. The one FBI guy surely wasn't cheating out like he was in community theater so that the terrorists could clearly see what was going on. In the back, Oz is getting lippy with Sandra. And I'm really liking this buddy team. These new characters to the series, these fresh actors to the series, and established actors in a way that we don't know their faces for a character, but that they have enough experience to know what the hell they're doing. And this relationship between the between Ozguy and Sandra, I'm very happy about this. And the dialogue is also very excellent. Now, last week I was speaking about wanting one of these people who, you know, oh yeah, I'll go undercover suddenly and abruptly and do something that I really have no training in, and I'll be incredibly good at it. But about wanting one of those people to be like, oh yes, hello, I am sent here by the terrorists to see what you are doing now. This FBI guy isn't that great.
We know who you're involved with.
I told you people. I work for the IAA. I'm not involved in any kind of terrorist activity.
You're lying!
I'm no terrorist!
You're lying!
What's he doing to him?
What do you know?
Don't worry, he's not going to hurt him. It's just for show.
That doesn't sound like it's just for show.
Miss Palmer, I advised you to leave. If you want to stay, keep your comments to yourself.
You're gonna explain to us what we found in your wallet.
What are you talking about?
You know damn well what we're talking about!
It's a two-way radio.
Now you're gonna tell me what we found in your wallet. You understand me? What do you know about this guy?
This is ridiculous.
Sit
what do you know
down.
About this guy? Tell me now, or I'll take you to the interrogation room. You don't want that.
I'm not telling you anything. I don't care what you do to me.
You will.
You're gonna say that I asked about this man. Gotta make them
I'll be back for you once I come back from Stella Adler. It's a joke that maybe like 1% of the people probably understood. I worked in a drama department. I absorb knowledge sometimes when I'm really bored. I don't know about acting, but that guy surely knows how to kick the shit out of a guy. And to smirk on the way out. To smirk like a giant bastard. It was nice and it was appropriate. The kicking the shit out of him for the second time. It was not fake. It was definitely not fake. And it certainly was an interesting way of wiring up a guy and telling him your plan for him to do. Jack is in the driver's seat. Jack is calling his dad. Dad's not home. But Sam answers, and apparently Jack likes Sam. Is Sam Jack's dad's manservant? I don't know.
Hello?
Sam, is that you?
Yes. Who's this?
It's Jack.
Jack.
How are you, Sam?
We thought you were...
You were, what, on heroin, dead, in a Chinese prison? Which one? A, B, or C? Where's the queen? Is she here? No. Regarding Jack and his dad, there's apparently mutual regrets about how things ended between the pair. So the father is MIA, but the brother... What? That's right, the brother is apparently reachable. And as Sam, whoever Sam is, hangs up the phone, we see that somebody's watching Dad's house. The guy gives someone a call. The guy who's watching the house's name is Liddy. Scooter, aren't you on trial? But anyways, there's the reveal. And now that's a reveal. Bluetooth Man from season 5 is Gray Bauer. Graham Bauer, Brother Bauer, Bluetooth Bauer, Bluetooth Brother Bauer. Now, he obviously doesn't like his brother too much, since he says that they should have killed him while they had the chance to, instead of handing him over to the Chinese. Gray seems mystified, or at least clueless, as to why Jack wants to talk to their dad, though. Commercial. Okay, I'm very glad for this. I need this break. And I'm so happy that this is one surprise that Fox promo people did not ruin for us. Fox promo people, first of all, your name has way too many P's for me to say into my crappy microphone as it falls into my chest like that, because I have it in like a little crocheted bag. Yeah, I need a new microphone desperately. But yes. Fox promo people, I applaud you. You allowed me to have a surprise. I actually knew that this guy was Jack's brother because I was foolish enough to press on a link on Joe's 24 the podcast site, and was a spoiler. But this reveal, amazing. Fantastic reveal, fantastic job in the promo department on not spoiling it. Excellent job. Now, there's a whole lot to process with this Graham Gray Bauer thing, and it will definitely require some season 5 delving. What are the effects, the ramifications, as Bluetooth Guy is actually Jack's brother? What changes about season 5 as we look at it through this present knowledge of Gray Bauer? And also, he implied that his group had a chance to kill Jack, but instead they handed him over to the Chinese. So not only were they integral in all this, but also in the Chinese getting him. Very powerful. The plot thickens into a nice pea soup chowder thing. So we're back, and Graham Bauer, he's got a nice car. So Jack and Gray chat. And the differences between the two are just so striking.
Hello?
It's me, Jack.
Jack?
Yeah.
Sam said you called, but I didn't believe him. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Is everyone safe over there?
Yeah. We're cool, Jack. Wow. Blowing my mind hearing from you like this. Listen, I want you to know that when Dad and I found out that you were in China, we tried everything to get you out. We called in a lot of favors.
Thanks.
Yeah, how did you get out?
Some sort of exchange.
Oh, for what?
I'm not really sure.
It must have been one hell of an exchange.
Now, there's that exchange again. Plot point book, plot point book, plot point book. This whole plot point book thing is to pick up these little crumbs which they leave in the beginning, which will eventually come back. Such as the exchange, which from the very first episode, I pointed out, is something to note. So, all right. Got that exchange again. Fairly important. And Graham saying, oh yeah, we're cool. Wow, you're blowing my mind, Jack. You're blowing my mind. Yeah, you're the epitome of suave. And not the closest relationship in the world between the two. Okay, we see Gray's wife, son, and wife. And hey, look, there's Rena Sofer, or Rena, whatever her name. You're on Heroes! You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be on NBC right now. Alright, okay, since in this series you get to walk, I guess you're kind of better off. You're married to a terrorist lover who's probably impotent, but okay.
I just got off the phone with my brother Jack.
Jack? How? I thought the Chinese were holding him.
He's back in Los Angeles.
It's impossible.
Apparently not. He's looking for Dad.
Is he coming here?
Why? Are you hoping he will?
Don't go there, Gray.
We're already there. I'm just looking for a little honesty. You weren't over Jack when we got married, and you're still not.
Okay. How's this for a little honesty? Insecurity in a grown man is unattractive.
Now Gray is jealous of Jack's hair, his height, and stamina, if you know what I'm saying. The wife, Marilyn, was a little not surprised about Jack being back. I hate to rhyme, I'm sorry, but yeah. Thinking maybe since Gray had something to do with Jack going away to a Chinese prison, that somewhere in his files he had the information about where he was exactly. And perhaps Marilyn had something to do with his release. His release, if you know what I'm saying. That one was unintentional. Okay, bunker. Back in the bunker. Tom is taking away a little of the respect that I did have for him. On the other hand, this also means that Peter McNichol is doing an excellent job at making me dislike him. Also, he's a little less twitchy than before. I enjoy that. Now this next bit. Embracing the politics of fear. This is a good and this is a clip that will probably be in Fox News later on today, unfortunately.
This bomb is going to remove any remaining doubt that we should be taking more aggressive measures. Suspension of certain freedoms, internment, deportation. Now is the time to start hitting those topics.
Tom, you are counseling that we embrace the politics of fear.
I am saying that we embrace reality. We are afraid. But if fear consolidates public support for measures that save our nation from extinction, then you bet I'm in support of fear.
Yeah, I totally don't go along with the political idea of it, but that was a great piece of dialogue, and yeah, I think that's going to be quoted and brought up a lot in the press this week. And okay, question: how did Tom internment deportation Lennox get on Palmer's staff? Not that staff, but you know. Darren McCarthy, who is the Australian trigger guy, picks up a woman who's been on other shows, but I'm not sure what. If you know, call in to 206-9842-CTU and tell me. And she's a little pissy.
They just said on the news, if the wind changes, we're screwed. I just want to get out of the city and get to Vegas.
We're not going to Vegas.
Oh, no, I'm not going to Palm Springs again. No, no, I swear you can just drop me off right here. That place is like assisted living for an entire city.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I'm very clip happy and that my audio quality is so really crappy. I'm having a little audacity problems. But I really love that line, and the actress did a great job on it. Because basically she's saying that I'd rather be dead in L.A. than alive in Palm Springs. Anyway, McCarthy and Fayed have another little conversation, and he says that he's going to do it, whatever, money. And Fayed gives another little impotent speech. And commercial. This episode has been driving day. Fayed, driving. Jack, driving. And apparently has dropped his CTU driver off at the daycare center. Timeline experts should figure out when Jack stopped talking to his dad in 24 time. It was 9 years. Was it before season one or after? We know that Gray saw Jack at Terry's funeral, but... CTU. Assad gave Nadia a little bit more info, but nothing that useful. Strange. The president wants Assad in D.C.? Well, that does not sound good. Something's going to happen with the plane or with Assad or whatever. It's going to. And Assad and Buchanan, at the end of this little exchange, shake hands. Semi-heroic music plays. I love Bill. And this makes me think even more that they are definitely going to do something with Assad and him flying to D.C. Now, CTU is made aware of Sandra Palmer's Islamic boy toy, Walid. Now, Salim, who was the wrong guy to stand up for in Walid's case, is now talking to his terrorist buddies about including Walid into their He-Man Woman Haters Club. And Oz guy is not doing a good job of handling Sandra. Sandra gives Oz boy a great line about how to don't give her speeches. It's nice to hear that on 24, although it's incredibly counterintuitive to the show. But it kind of makes me like her and that pair even more. So the terrorist buddies up to Walid. He tells him that he's the regional director of the IAA. And Walid makes up a story to get some mention of Fayed in. It's not the best story in the world. And his non-knowledge of Fayed, who's this gigantic terrorist guy, probably also isn't that wise. And, you know, I really think that I did get my wish about having bad actors, not bad actual actors, but having the characters be bad actors, because I'm scared for Walid now. I don't think it's going to be good at all. And as Walid is getting included into the He-Man Woman Haters Club, Oz is narrating Walid like it's a Discovery Channel nature special. I'm like, oh, well, now he will be included into the club. He has to prove that he's strong enough. Very strange. Back at Gray's house, Bauer on Bauer. They have a very uncomfortable hug and very creepy music. Now, I wonder which brother got the good looks and the hair and the height and the nice ass. Okay. They haven't seen each other since Terry's funeral. Now, Marilyn, Gray's wife, and Jack exchange a look. Josh, this son, in quotes, of Gray's, kind of looks a little bit like Kim. Mom and Jack had a thing, so whose son is this, really? And Jack's even, he's a lot more apologetic to barging in and for interrupting everything to Marilyn than he is to Gray, than he is to his brother. Perhaps it's obvious, but plot point book. Write it down. Gray and Jack go into the study. Gray starts chatting about their dad's drinking buddies. Yeah, so dad's drunk. Got it. That's an issue. Gray had been hanging out with their dad in Venezuela before Hugo Chavez. Gray is then incredibly dismissive about Jack and his recent history in fucking China. Says, oh, God, I mean, you should get over it. Like, you're here now. Like, woohoo, have fun. Go, great, now. And what does Jack do? He knocks him the hell out. I would like to do that to a few people. He takes out an electrical cord from a lamp, and I'm immediately thinking season 4, Audrey's ex-husband, he's going to torture him that way. But no, he uses it to tie him up. It makes me think, oh, so this is how it was playing as little boys with dad drunk screwing some whore in the back? You guys were tying each other up? That's how Jack learned all this shit?
Are you going to give it to me, or do I have to start hurting you?
Tragically, you're hurting me now.
Trust me, I'm not.
Very kick-ass and kind of sexual. So this extreme anger and extreme out there kind of behavior towards his brother, it's excellent. It better be motivated. Either way, it's awesome, but it would really be even better in another Emmy if it was motivated. Which, knowing the little that we do about Brother Bauer, I'm pretty sure it's going to be motivated. Back to the bunker. Tom makes me like him a little bit more, or hate him a little bit less, by saying to President Wayne that bravado in the speech that President Wayne is about to give would be as inappropriate as fear would. Note, so they've got a little fake Oval Office in the bunker that's not only set up like the Oval Office, but it's set up with like all their family photos too. That's just ready down there. There's one now like there for Bush now. Also, speaking of photos of the family, is President Wayne married? Kids? Another plot point book. Thank you very much. Now, as President Wayne is giving his speech, it's a very nice use. The director, I'm very, very happy with this episode. It's a very nice use of the different boxes with Palmer's speech going on throughout it. David was better with the talking, but I would still rather listen to President Wayne on any day than I would listen to Tuesday night State of the Union in the real world. In the reality-based community. With Jack's scene, there's some crazy music going on in the background, and the director or the editor makes a fantastic choice of not showing us what Jack is doing and what he's getting ready for his brother. And, oh my God. The ending? That's a horror movie scary ending. And an amazing ending to the episode. Gray is silently screaming as Jack is drawing this plastic bag tighter and tighter around his face, around Gray's face. And I can't wait for the next episode. Oh my God. Before the next show, later on this week, if you want to give me a call and tell me what your opinions were of the show, of 24, the show, call me at 206-9842-CTU. That's 206-9842-CTU. Or you can email me your comments about 24 or about this particular show, the podcast, and you can email me at 24, spell out the numbers, at podomatic.com. Again, that's 24 at podomatic.com. Automatic is good, is very good.